So it says, we look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who endured the cross. This is how he ran the race. Endured the cross means, in very simple words, he died to himself. And we get plenty of opportunities to die to ourselves every day. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross daily. That means every day we have opportunities to forgive somebody or not to retaliate if somebody treats us badly or yells at us or somebody behaves us with a bad conscience and we keep our conscience clear and don't respond to that. We willing to take the blame for something which we never did. I remember the days when I was riding the scooter here in Bangalore. I used to ride a scooter here for many years. And I discovered through the years that whenever two scooters collide, there'll be a yelling match. And because the rule in India is whoever shouts louder, he's right. And I discovered this over a period of time, that even if somebody else came and hit me, he would get up, he would stand up, stop and start shouting. Because that is the way he would prove that it was my fault. So I decided that even if somebody came and hit me, I would immediately say, I'm sorry, sir. Oh, then he'd smile at me and say, it's okay. He would forgive me for hitting me. And then he'd move on. So I discovered, and what do I lose by saying, I am sorry? I have said that hundreds and probably thousands of times to different people and never felt ashamed to do it, never felt too proud to say it to people who are much younger, even to unbelievers. If accidentally I hurt them in some way. I mean, if you, for example, you travel in a crowded bus and you accidentally step on somebody's foot, what do you do? Do you say to him, hey, listen, I didn't purposely do that? No, you say, it was accidental, I know, but you still say, I'm sorry, sir. Please forgive me, even though you did not do it deliberately. That is, even the worldly people know that. How much more a Christian? Sometimes it's not deliberately that you say something to hurt your husband or wife. Accidental, just like stamping on somebody's foot. Husbands and wives are stamping on each other's foot, spiritually speaking, many times. That's not the time to say, hey, I didn't mean that. I didn't. No, you don't say that to the man in the bus. Don't say it to your husband or wife. Just say, I'm sorry. I think I hurt you there by those words. Please forgive me. Can you remember the last time you asked somebody to forgive you? You would be running much faster today if you did it. I know it may increase the speed in my life of running. That I decided, I'm going to do it even if there's the slightest suspicion that I hurt somebody, I'm going to ask their forgiveness. I'd even write it down, and if they're not around, I would send them an email. Let them have a permanent record that they can keep, that Brother Zach Poonen came and asked my forgiveness, sure. They may think it's humiliating for me. I personally don't think so. I think it is just setting something right so that I can run the race. I don't look at that person. I look at Jesus. It says you're fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith, who endured the cross. And this is a sort of cross, a cross where when you have to die in some situation, it is a cross. And if you're unwilling to die in a situation, you're not taking up the cross, and you can't run this race efficiently. And that is a shame. Yeah, there can be a shame when you ask forgiveness, or there's shame. People may mock you, but it says Jesus despised the shame. It says in verse 2. Because he was not bothered what people thought about him. I mean, imagine him hanging on a cross, completely stripped except for an underwear there, everybody laughing at him. And it's a shameful thing. to be stripped like that. At least if he's wearing clothes and he's crucified, that's one thing. But stripped and nailed, there's a shame there, but he despised it. He said, it's okay. If my Father wants me to go like this, I'll accept it. And there may be situations in your life as well, in your office or in your home or with relatives, where you're put to shame because you stand up for Christ. Or they think you're acting like a woman instead of being a man. That's okay. Let people think what they like. If I'm doing what is pleasing to the Lord, I despise the shame. The result was Jesus said, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, compare scripture with scripture. How did he sit down at the right hand of the throne of God? Read carefully. He endured the cross and despised the shame of hanging on that cross, 90% naked. Despise that shame. It's all right. If people laugh at me, make fun of me, it's okay. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he endured the cross and despised the shame. That's how he reached the right hand of the throne of God. Now turn, compare scripture with scripture and turn to Revelation in chapter 3. God has given us this Bible in our own language so that we can compare scripture with scripture. I want to make this very practical in your life, brothers. Don't listen to this as some theoretical message. Intensely practical. You'll need it every day of your life. Because Jesus said we have to take up the cross every day. Even your children, young people. If you start now, it'll be very easy. I'm glad that I started when I was 19. That's made it so much easier for me as I've grown up. Now, how did Jesus sit down at the right hand of the throne of God? Now, here in Revelation 3:21, it is spoken in another way. Jesus says, he who overcomes, I'll make him sit with me on my throne as I sat on my Father's throne by becoming an overcomer myself. Did you see that? The last part of verse 21, chapter Revelation 3:21. Because I overcame, I sat at the right hand of the throne of God. And if you overcome, you can sit down with me on my throne. But in Hebrews 12, we are told that he sat down at the right hand of the throne because he despised the shame and endured the cross. So when I put the two verses together, I understand what it is to be an overcomer. In Revelation 3:21, it is said, this is an overcomer. And he will sit on my throne. In Hebrews 12, that overcoming is explained as despising the shame, enduring the cross. That's being an overcomer. And sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. I can get there too. So, in this race, the other place where you read about a race is in 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says, here again, actually chapter 9 verse 24 should be the first verse of chapter 10. If I were dividing the Bible, I'd put chapter 10 verse 1 at chapter 9 verse 24 because the rest of chapter 10 and 13 verses are a continuation of that subject. So read it like that. Let's begin at chapter 9 verse 24. Don't you know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? It is called overcoming in chapter 12, Hebrews 12. Here it is called receiving a prize. The prize is the throne of God. We saw that. All can run, but not all get a prize. But the wonderful thing in the Christian life is, Paul is writing to these Corinthians and saying, you must run in such a way that you win. But you say, hey Paul, you said only one will run the prize. Only one person can come first. Yes, all of you can come first. This is the wonderful thing about the Christian life, that if 3,000 people are running, all 3,000 can come first. And all of you sitting here, is it what, 500? All of you can come first. There's not a single person sitting here who cannot come first. You can come first. And decide that from now on, every day you're going to die to yourself. That's enduring the cross. And you're not going to be bothered about any shame that comes to you because you stand up for Christ in your place of work or with your unconverted relatives or some shame that comes to you because you take a stand for the Lord in some way. Don't despise that shame. Don't be bothered by it. And you'll receive the prize. The prize is the right hand of the throne of God. All of you can get it.